Keen på Norges feriekabriolet? Hytta med femmen? Hente en sofa? Roadtrip i Nord-Norge? Camping med gjengen? Hoppe fra Norges styrelse stupetårn? Flytte ut av byen? Vannski på Sørlandet? Svingersvest I Sandefjord? Eller rømme landet? Det ett fett for oss hva du skal. Med Getaround kan du leie en bil fra nabolaget ditt for en time eller mer. Leie en bil til det du vil. Last ned Getaround-appen I dag.
Cauldron aktuell med en samlis, og I den anledning grevde opp et intervju fra 2017. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, og du hører på Jernverket podcast. Men før vi kjører intervju har jeg en beskjed til. For at Jernverket skal overleve som podcast, trengs det midler, så jeg har vært frekk nok til å opprette en Patreon-side og en VIPs-konto. Hvis du vil bidra med noen slanter for å holde Jernverket flytende, hadde jeg satt stor pris på det. Du kan gi månedlig via jernverkesiden på patreon.com/jernverket eller gi en enkeltsum via VIPs nummer 567438. Beløpet selvsagt valgfritt. All informasjon står nederst I episodebeskrivelsen med en lenke som fører deg rett til kassen. Igjen, tusen takk for alle bidragene så langt. Jeg klarer ikke det uten deg.
Feeling the pain of Day three of Muscle Rock.
Yeah, so I'm sitting here with Cauldron, and we could maybe just take the round and you tell us who you are and what you do in the band.
Hey, I'm Miles. I play drums.
Jason, bass.
I'm Ian. I play guitar.
And how did it all begin? How and when did Cauldron become a band?
Well,
11 years ago.
Jason had an old band called Goat Horn that was, I don't know, formed in, what, 99?
Yeah.
Went until 2006, and I was a fan of the band. And they broke up, and were looking for a guitar player to sort of keep going under a new name. So I messaged him on MySpace and said, hey, I'll play guitar. And then so I moved out to Toronto, and... That's basically how the band started. So that's 2006. So
you moved like a fanboy kind of and over to Toronto to start a band?
Yeah. Yeah, that's I mean, it's much more than that now, but I suppose at the time I was a Goat Horn fanboy. And yeah.
Really brought the level of the band up. The guitar playing.
All right, thank you.
And then you came along?
Yeah, I stumbled along 6 years later, after many bizarre gardening accidents that befell
six years and six drummers.
Befell their previous drummers. I showed up. I also moved halfway across the country to play in this band. Wow. I did it because these guys are cool.
We're in
wow,
style.
We're just complimenting each other all over the place.
That's why you're still going strong,
yeah.
You know? Everyone secretly admires the other ones in the band.
Compliments all around.
But your first album came in 2009?
Yep.
I remember I got the promo, one of the last physical promos I actually get, mm-hmm. with the girl in the chains, mm-hmm. and wherever.
Yeah.
And that was, at that time, it was kind of unusual because you didn't hear a lot of that style of metal from
right.
Canada at that time.
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up playing like the new wave of traditional heavy metal?
We always played it.
Yeah,
we've been doing it like 10. Well, I was playing it like 10 years before that record came out, and just because that's what I like. That's what I like to hear. So why would you play anything else? And
yeah,
that's why it took us that long to kind of get recognized, because the music wasn't popular. I mean, we just kind of had to wait until it came to us, came around.
And now it's actually exploded.
I feel like
I felt like it peaked a few years ago, and now it's going. You know, people have moved on.
Yeah. But we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, there's people that were listening to heavy metal like, I don't know, 5 years ago that are now. They've cut their hair off and you don't see them at shows anymore. But now there's people coming that, like, we met two guys that when we first played Muscle Rock in 2009, they were 10 years old, and now they're here, excited to see us. Like, they've, it just seems kind of ridiculous.
That just feels, that feels like yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of insane. Tell me about your songwriting. How do you work with the songs, and when you want to do an album, how do you work through it to get, I don't know.
We have two ways of doing it. One is I write some songs all by myself, and then other times I think I hear Ian's guitar riffs and kind of put, I always ask him what it is, if I like it, just to make sure it's not some other band.
Yeah, usually if I play a riff that Jason likes, he'll say, "Who is that?" And if the answer is, "That's me,"
then we
use it for a song.
Have you ever accidentally started writing a song on an old song because you heard him play? Like, this must be on the album. No,
but I've probably taken something and tried to disguise it enough so it sounds like us. Done that many times. Actually, every song, I can name you the song we stole it from.
What's your favorite artist to steal from?
Oh, I can't give away the secrets.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't want anyone to know.
I don't even know. I don't know.
But how has Cauldron developed throughout the years? Now you have more than 10 years behind you. Do you feel that the band has gone the, like, different direction?
Not really. I think our songs have gotten better.
Yeah, there's stuff now that I hear from the first album that I think, like, we would not do that now. Like, it just, it's, some of it seems kind of ridiculous to me, but
the over-the-top guitar solos?
Yeah, like, some really tacky guitar solos, like, I'm much more calm now.
I'm finally learning how to sing. It's been a huge improvement for us.
I've learned to play less.
Less? Like, don't
sit back. Yeah.
We've learned it's all about doing less, I think, and focusing on the song. That's it. We don't need to do flashy, irritating stuff.
Yeah. I think our strong point has always been songwriting more than musicianship. Songwriting is what we're good at, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of fun because yesterday I listened quite a lot to your last album, and yesterday when I met Jonas and we were going back to the tent, he said that he had asked you about the bass line in one of the songs at the album. Yeah. And that wasn't the bass, no. It was the guitar.
So it's in the pre-chorus in No Return, the clean
Docking
guitar. He thought it was like some Middle Eastern bass.
Yeah, but it sounds like it. I wondered, what did you do?
It's just clean guitar.
It's just a clean guitar.
Yeah, but it sounds so dark in a way.
That's cool.
It's just the tone.
It's just that, like, it was the same setup. It's just like when you use like an old Marshall and turn the volume down on your guitar, it gets this really nice clean sound. It's like the Metallica thing.
Did we use the rack gear for that though? Chris Stringer's custom dialed in fucking
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Secrets.
But that's like, we just stole that from Metallica, like Sanitarium. That's the clean sound. It's just a Marshall with the volume turned down on the guitar. That's all it is. And it sounds good.
Yeah, it does. I always ask the bands about some, like, good stories or fun stories.
What, from this weekend?
You could always share one from this weekend if it's good enough.
I would if I could remember.
I keep blowing pieces of grass out of my nose. I'm not sure where that's...
This kid came from right in this tent.
Yeah.
It might be because we're outdoors. Or any Spinal Tap-ish stories, maybe?
Those are embarrassing.
Yeah, that's the point.
I know, I did a pretty sick stage dive during Antichrist's set. I had a long distance to clear.
Yeah. Like, this weekend?
This weekend, yeah, on Thursday. I think I took some people out when it went down.
I used to stage dive like crazy. Like the first time we came here, I jumped off the main stage when Thor was playing, and it's actually in the Thor documentary. You can see me like run out and I bruised like 3 ribs doing that, and I must have killed somebody when I landed on them.
I knocked over Steve Price's guitar amp.
It's also in the movie. You see the whole amp
tumble.
He knocks the whole thing over, the whole stack, and then just ran away.
I caught the Eddie Meduza. Is that what he's saying? I caught the tribute set in the RV in the corner. I thought that was pretty cool. It's like 200 drunk people just raging.
You saw a guy just pass out cold.
I saw a guy pass out cold in front of me, and everyone thought he was dead, and he pissed himself while he was passed out.
Oh my god. Yeah, but that's how it usually is at this festival. I think there's more like shitty, shabby people here than anywhere else. Not even in Germany. I've seen so many so drunk people like I do here. But how's the audience here, like, compared to when if you play at home?
At a festival?
Yeah. Is it?
I think it's always good at a festival.
Yeah, but like club shows and stuff.
They're all the same. Like, you gotta play. Like, the weekends are generally good, and then you gotta play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they're usually the same everywhere. Kind of crappy. But the audience is, I don't know. It's great in Toronto, Montreal, any big city in Canada. There are metalheads.
Edmonton.
Really good. It's great. That's a working class town.
We try not to play in Toronto like more than twice a year. It's bad. Yeah, if you want to have the best show, you can't play more than twice a year. And there's so many bands in Toronto that just play every weekend. It's like, what is the point?
That now we have to play even less to try and balance it out. There's too many shows.
Yeah, we're trying to play around 0 times a year now in Toronto.
Are you touring a lot, by the way? You're on quite a tour now.
It's
3 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty short. It's our shortest.
It's our new thing. It's 3 week tours.
Yeah. Yeah, after the last tour we did was in the States, and it was 2 months long.
The last tour was 2 weeks.
With Satan.
Yeah, 2 weeks. But before that, it was last year, and it was 2 months long. And it ended with the van flipping over. And
we had to cancel 8 shows.
What happened?
We got in an accident.
Down?
No.
Oh, no, sorry. Oh, my God, the accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he was
here
in the hospital.
Here on known as the accident.
Yeah. But how are you now? Like,
somebody in Prague called me Accident Man. Like, it's like Accident Man. I don't know.
He was the one. He got seriously hurt. The rest of us were.
We were pretty
okay.
Yeah, I remember the photo with you with the collar and stuff, and you were just standing, and he's okay. And
I broke my back, and I cracked a vertebrae in my neck, and it sucked.
But now everything feels kind of okay.
Yeah, for the most part.
You can still remember the lines and the riffs.
Yeah, that's all that really matters.
Right now, we're alive.
But did that sell more records when you were in accident?
No. We sold some t-shirts.
We did, yeah. We sold some benefit shirts.
Yeah,
so lots
actually
of people like donated us money to help with our expenses.
Yeah, because that expense can be quite large when stuff like that happens in the States.
Yeah.
Was it a fan base, the collection of money?
Yeah,
and
it was.
Not
Kickstarter.
No, it was just our web store.
Yeah.
We wouldn't do one of those, like, GoFundMe. That's just, I hate when bands do that. Especially when they're like, we need a new van. And then they do, like.
What we did do, we just said, you know, if you choose how much you want to give us, and we'll send you a t-shirt or something.
Mm.
And people just paid what they wanted to.
And you're here today, so it probably worked then.
Yeah, it did, yeah. There was a benefit show as well that Jason put on.
Yeah, what was that? Where and who played? The Benefit Show.
My old band, Goathorn, got together and played it. It was in Toronto.
Destructor.
We had a lot of bands just kind of come and play for free.
Midnight played a Motorhead cover set.
Oh, right.
Wow. Yeah.
It was cool. They did, what did they do? They did Ace of Spades, but sang Overkill over it, like how Lemmy screwed that up in the, you know, later years. I actually showed up in disguise to the show because I felt weird going to my own benefit, but I really wanted to see the bands. So I came with a blonde wig on and a toque and glasses just because I wanted to see the bands. And somebody tried to sell me a raffle ticket to raise money for me.
So they didn't recognize you? Like,
no, a lot of people didn't recognize me because nobody was expecting me to be there. But I did actually show up for like a little bit of the night, and yeah.
You should wear that tonight on a show.
Yeah,
with stage props.
Yeah.
You fit in. So many blondes here in Scandinavia.
But what are your plans now? You put out an album last year. Are you writing new material?
It's like almost all written.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are
gonna
you
record
doing
this summer.
Yeah.
So it'll probably come out next year if, you know.
It takes forever for those things to happen. This is the last record came out last year, but it was actually recorded almost 2 years before that. So
yeah,
Well, we like to leave things sitting for a long time and then pretend that it's new. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just like, how does it feel when you did it 2 years ago and then it comes out and you hear the songs all over again? Maybe, I don't know, if you don't listen to it for like 2 years and then it suddenly comes and it's like...
No, it feels like relief when it finally comes out.
Plus, like, it's usually on vinyl, so... You're used to listening to these songs as MP3s, you know, like as they're being mixed. So everything's always a little bit rough, but listening to the finished product is pretty satisfying.
Yeah. Usually by the time one of our albums comes out, we already have the next one written. Like, that's how long it takes for an album to come out, so...
But the gap for the last record was just because of the legalities.
Financial stuff. Legal stuff we had to go through.
Because it was a label switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to fund the record ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how did it work out now with the new label?
Way better.
It's on High Roller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we can just do what we want. It's freedom.
So they actually give you money to make a record?
They license it from us. They give us a nice little bit of money. And but we still get to own the record, and we have a different label in the States. It's the best.
So now you're rich rock stars and can quit your day jobs and...
No, we're not rich, but now we're not 40 grand in debt. That's that's the big difference.
So let's talk about inspirations. You were supposed to make the playlist for this show too and pick your favorite songs. And at the same time, we could, of course, talk about which bands and artists that inspire you. So what I need is at least one Cauldron song, and then you can pick 10 or 11 other favorite songs from within the hard rock, punk...
it has to be hard rock.
Heavy metal. It doesn't have to be. I've got, like, Brian Ross from Satan. He wanted to hear Jerry Halliwell with... covers.
That's what he was listening to when we toured with them.
Yeah. Jerry Halliwell and Adele. So if you have a good reason, you can choose whatever you want.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know, songs and albums I become obsessed with, but they're usually not metal. I'm obsessed with The Raspberries and Todd Rundgren. The Wipers, I don't know. That's my stuff.
Do you collect inspiration from those artists, even though they aren't like...
Yeah, for sure. You can definitely hear stuff. And it's way better to take inspiration from, you know, an unlikely source than, you know, Judas Priest.
So do you have any song tips for the playlist?
Well, we can pick some hard rocking numbers too.
Breaking the Law.
Rock Hard Ride Free.
Okay, let's not play Breaking the Law.
Okay. Ace of Spades, Breaking the Law.
We want to pick some songs.
Rain in Blood.
Yeah.
Rock Hard Ride Free. That's my pick.
Yeah.
Centurion, Two Wheels, or whatever the fuck it's
called. Tell you which Cauldron song that is.
Is it called Two Wheels?
Two Wheels, yeah.
Yeah.
Centurion?
Centurion, yeah.
We got to play some Brian Johnson era AC/DC, like
Deep in the Hole.
Yeah, deep, or like Fly on the Wall. That's actually we love 80s AC/DC. That's the best stuff. I know everybody likes Bon Scott. Who doesn't? But
we like Simon Wright.
Simon Wright.
Yeah,
sang,
Fly on the Wall.
I like Axl the most.
Ooh, yeah, he is the third best AC/DC singer.
I really like the band The Dictators from New York, so I pick Master Race Rock. That's a killer track.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Close Your Eyes by Dokken.
Yeah.
That's my pick. And The Priest too.
Carcass Impropagation. I think some people have clued in that the Cauldron sound is kind of like Dokken and Carcass. Like, that's... I think it's right. Yeah, it sounds like that.
Like two of the most important bands, at least for me.
I like it. Carcass and Dokken.
Yeah.
What about some of the other bands you mentioned that were not rock?
Oh, well...
should put at least one of those
Platinum
on the
Ball.
List.
Yeah. Tears for Fears. Tears for Fears, Watch Me Bleed.
Gowan.
That is some amazing stuff. Raspberries, Go All the Way. One of the greatest songs ever written.
Gowan, Moonlight Desires.
Gowan?
Gowan. Gowan.
G-O-W-A-N.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We covered a Gowan song and it was called Moonlight Desires. And Larry Gowan himself has been seen at our rehearsal space scouring the halls looking for us because he wants to jam.
Oh, cool. Yeah. But it hasn't happened yet?
Hasn't happened.
No, yet. I've never met him, but we actually found out that he's a regular at this diner down the street from... Our old drummer actually used to teach Gowan's son, but Gowan. Nobody knows who the fuck Gowan is.
It's Canadian. Canadian gold.
I know about Gowan.
As long as you know him, you could just bring him as a guest artist on an album or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I got a good one. Is Killer Dwarfs' Human Survival. Is that what the song's called?
Yeah,
that's a great song. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where we get that clean picking guitar thing. That's like a perfect example of that.
I'd go with Country Girl, Sabbath. That's Vinny Appice is a pretty awesome drummer.
Nice. I don't know how many we have now.
I think that's 10.
Yeah.
I mean,
what about the Cauldron song?
Oh, let's go for something a bit deeper from the new album, I guess. Right?
Corridors.
Yeah, Corridors of Dust. Where we are right now.
Du har hørt et Cauldron-intervju fra 2017. Likte du det, kan du for eksempel høre episoden med Flight, Horizont, In Solitude og Hellas. Neste vekka serverer jeg et gammelt intervju med det som nå ex-vokalist Frank Mullen fra Suffocation.
Then we put out the Human Waste EP because we got picked up Matt from Relapse. He was just starting out. Like we were his first band. Like the deal was so like you'll get like 500 albums like free and we're like oh sick.
Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Det ligger plenty episoder du kan kose deg med og spre gjerne ordet. Hvis du vil bidra med litt peng for at jeg skal kunne fortsette, kan du gi støtte via Patreon eller Vips. Og det også kult om du slenger inn en god anmeldelse av podden der du lytter. Husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for konkurranser, diskusjoner og musikalske tips. Helle Steinkløv, det er meg. Jeg gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrockintervju hver fredag. Vi høres!